The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
I really believe the Lord just pushed me and said, no. Tell them about fresh oil. Fresh oil, holy fire, new wine. These are all biblically substantiated metaphors for the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit doesn't make you weird. He makes you wired. He makes you wired. He connects you to the fullness of the finished work of Christ.
Samuel Rodriguez challenges you to reconsider what you know and how you relate to the Holy Spirit. Next.
This is very providential. This is of God. This is just one of those things God does. My guest today, Sammy Rodriguez. Now, you see, Betty's not here, but Sammy was coming through. He's moving by the Spirit because he has written a book right now. It's going around the world already.
Yes.
And this is the Holy Spirit, holy, fresh oil, holy fire, new wine. He's going to talk about that very clearly. But I'm telling you, this is one of the most anointed people on the planet. And that's why when I knew he was here, even though he's moving on and going a lot of places, you had to be here. You know, you and I kind of have in some ways a father-son relationship. Well, would you agree with that?
Not in some way. Explicitly so, indeed. No, to a great degree, what we're doing now in advancing the kingdom, this agenda, I don't think it would have taken place if not for when God instructed you to pass the mantle, and it changed my life forevermore. I love you, I honor you, sir, and you are a spiritual dad to me indeed.
I do remember laying down literally over you on an incredible conference, I think maybe our 40-year or 50-year anniversary, whatever. But the point is, I said, I want you to have a double portion of anything I ever had on me and that's ever come, and I just have watched God miraculously work with you. I'm thrilled you're here. I'm so glad that you're with us today. And don't you get every friend you've got, not only to watch this, but to catch this and be caught by this and be carried by this. It's that important. In the day in which we live, we've got to have this, what he's talking about. And I believe he's as anointed as anybody on the earth to deliver. Sammy, I want you to take off. Let me ask you this. What moved you to pour yourself into writing this right now?
Don't be ridiculous. Don't be a fool. It's never going to happen. That's what prompted me. So I'm reading the life of David. Mm-hmm. And I had this epiphany. I believe it was a Holy Spirit-inspired moment of clarity. On multiple occasions, David is told verbatim by, don't be ridiculous. These are the words of King Saul, by the way, as David looked at Goliath. Another version of the Hebrew would read, don't be a fool. And then he says, you're just a boy. Now, parenthetically speaking, in 21st century terms, you're not man enough to defeat that giant. Oh, those are fighting terms in East L.A. You're not man enough to fight that giant. So I read that. I went, wait a minute. Then fast forward. He's about to conquer Jerusalem. The Jebusites occupied. The Jebusites go, hey, you're never going to do it. Even the blind and the lame will keep you out. On multiple occasions, he's told you can't do it. You won't do it. It's impossible. Here's his response in one declaration through his life, Psalm 92, verse 10. In spite of all the criticism, all the naysaying, here's this word, just once. I have been anointed with fresh oil.
Wow.
I'm done. His answer was, I have an anointing. Isn't that, like, how do you push back on your haters and critics? In the past few years, we've seen so much of Christianity will not grow in America. Christianity will not grow around the world. You're never going to see the next generation saved. We've heard this. The next generation will be the least Christian-inclined generation in world history. We're hearing, you're never going to do it. You're never going to defeat the giants. You're never going to conquer your Jerusalem. You're never going to fill your world with the glory of Jesus, which is his great third deliverable when he brought the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem. So we're never going to do it. I really believe the Lord just pushed me and said, no. Tell him about fresh oil. Fresh oil, holy fire, new wine, these are all biblically substantiated metaphors for the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit doesn't make you weird, he makes you wired.
Wow.
That's the premise of the book. If I mention Holy Spirit in certain parts of the world and fresh oil, there is this inevitable outcome to a very hyper, super charismatic manifestation that it may be emotionally, you know, elevate it, right? And not to speak disparagingly about it, but the Holy Spirit doesn't make you weird. He makes you wired. He connects you to the fullness of the finished work of Christ. So what does that mean for you and I? It means that the Lord is doing, not that we're receiving a new Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit doing something new in you, with you, for you, and through you for the glory of the Father. That's fresh oil. What, James, what if we are about to see an outpouring of the Holy Spirit like never before?
We must.
What if fresh oil falls upon the church, for the church to rise up and really take its role as the bride? Instead of leaning left or right, we stand.
Yeah, if the gospel of the kingdom is going to be preached in every nation, and that would not just be in word, but that would be in action, it has to happen with this fresh oil and this fresh anointing and this fresh move of God on the church, that the enemy is telling you, you're finished, you're waiting, you got to get out of Dodge,
right.
You got to have somebody
That's
come
right.
get you. No, sir.
That's right.
His power is going to come now, greater than any time in history. So the gospel of the kingdom is preached in demonstration power in every nation. That's what you're talking about.
That's what I'm talking about. David was anointed three times. He was anointed three times. With that anointing, he defeated the giant in his generation. Acts 13 confirms that. He fulfilled his purpose in his generation. He conquered Jerusalem, and he brought the glory in. That's our assignment. There it is. What's my assignment, your assignment? We need to confront the giants of our respective generation. We need to conquer or occupy the areas that God has ordained us to occupy to advance his kingdom. And we need to fill the earth with the glory of Jesus Christ. That's the agenda. But I love that. We will never defeat the giant of moral relativism without fresh oil. We will never defeat the giant of hedonism and perversion without fresh oil. We're not even going to defeat the giant. Oh, now this gets me on a personal level. I have 7 grandkids. More than ever before, the enemy's coming after our children. If the devil doesn't kill that child in the womb, he will try to kill him with social constructs, ideologies, and teachings that are counterintuitive to the purpose and the will of God in their respective lives. And that's why we have to rise up with fresh oil. Every pastor, every Christian, every mom, every dad, with fresh oil. Without fresh oil, we're weak. With the Holy Spirit, we can stand up and look at every devil, demon, legion, principality coming after our children, and we tell them the following: get your hands off our children.
Yes.
And we can only do that with fresh oil. So I'm not talking about a conference. I'm not talking about an app or a little experiential moment where you come back and go, there was a moment. I am literally talking about a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And it is the Holy Spirit. 1 John 2:27. For you have received the anointing, who is the Holy Spirit, who lives inside of you. In the Old Testament, they would pour out. I wish I had a bottle of oil here. They would pour it out on the kings, the priests, the prophets. They would be poured out. The Bible would talk about the oil just coming down from the beard of Aaron. That it was poured out. It was an external application. When Jesus died on the cross, when he shed his blood, when he resurrected, ascended, and sent precious Holy Spirit, you and I are no longer anointed from the outside in. You and I are anointed from the inside out.
Exactly.
Isn't that awesome? No circumstance can take away my anointing. No valley I go through, no problem, no angst, no shift in culture, because it's from the inside out, which means my anointing is no longer the result of an external application. It's the result of an internal habitation, an internal revelation about the finished work of Christ. That's fresh oil.
And it happened that everybody needs to understand this. Jesus has spent 3 years, the greatest teacher ever, with these very, you wonder why in the world did they even get in the group.
This is true.
But when he's about to leave, these guys are still talking about this escape hatch. Somewhere you're going to get us out of here. Rather than understand they were being left here to get him in here in the fullness of his power, in his body that will look like him and have the same impact as him, but in huge multiples of millions of people who are filled with him in person. And in that upper room, that power that you're talking about, everything here came on them. When they came out, they were so overwhelmed by the living Jesus in them that the least one likely to even be the spokesman is the spokesman, the one that looked like the most miserable failure, becomes along almost with Saul of Tarsus, who was the worst enemy, who became the great promoter of the gospel. These Ooh. Men came out different. And this is what I'm hearing you say, and I think you're saying it so clearly, that it can happen to us in the church today with the same power that filled those upper room Christians, and nobody could recognize them for seeing Jesus in them, and nobody could stop them. That's the move of God he wants prior to his return, and the gospel of the kingdom be preached in the power, the divine enabling of the Holy Spirit in every one of us.
It is precious Holy Spirit indeed who is responsible. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23 and 24. The Apostle Paul makes this great prayer. He said, I pray that God will make you whole, will make you holy, will make you shalom. I'm breaking down the different extrapolations from that phrase. Mind, body, soul, one version says spirit. And he who called you is faithful to do it. It's the Holy Spirit. Who is he? He's the pneuma. He's the ruach. The Bible calls him the seal, the guarantee, the promise, the gift. I love this. The Bible calls him the comforter, but he's the comforter who convicts. And he's the one who convicts and then comforts you. This is amazing. You cannot be connected to what Jesus did on the cross and to the fullness of Christ unless you're filled with the Holy Spirit. Imagine your family filled with fresh oil. Imagine a church with fresh oil. Imagine a generation with fresh oil. With fresh oil, we will bring down the giants. With fresh oil, we will conquer our respective Jerusalems. And with fresh oil, we will fill the earth with the glory of Christ. But it requires you to be receptive for a fresh anointing. Once again, you're a fool. You're never going to do this. You're never going to bring down the giant, and you're never going to conquer Jerusalem. Then his wife, when he was bringing in the glory, says, you're never going to get your respect back because you're dancing like a madman, basically naked here, exposing yourself. You're never going to get so many times, never, never, never. And his response in one verse, I've been anointed with fresh oil.
Yeah.
I love this.
Yeah.
It's Holy Spirit. Every family, every church, every pastor, every mom, every dad, when you have the Holy Spirit, there is power, Acts 1:8. There is freedom, 2 Corinthians 3:17. There is holiness, Galatians 5:16. There is victory, Romans 8:11. There is anointing, 1 John 2:27. Therefore, Ephesians 5:18, don't be drunk with wine. Do not be drunk with wine, but rather be filled with the Holy Spirit. So that's my prayer right now, James, that every single family watching this, instead of being filled with angst and consternation, depression, anxiety, and fear, even with a mentality, as you referenced beautifully, of perpetual escapism, right? This, even in the church, I'm not going to vote because Jesus is coming and God is on the throne. So why should I vote? Doesn't matter who's in the White House. What matters is God is on the throne, and he is on the throne. But by the way, while we're waiting for Jesus to come down, he's waiting for his church to stand up.
Yeah.
And he's not coming back for a church.
In the power of the Spirit, stand up.
Not a weak church.
Carried by the Spirit, controlled by the Spirit.
Totally.
Compelled by the Spirit.
Not a weak church. Not a whining church. Not even a church always sucking her thumb. It's a strong power. Is there anything in the Bible that ever states in the last days the devil will go on steroids and creatine and have more muscles? It says the days will get darker. It never says the prince of darkness in the last days will be bigger than the original day that he fell.
No.
Nothing. So why are we saying, well, the devil's getting stronger? No, he's not. The devil's not getting stronger. The church is acting weaker.
No.
Notice how I stated acting, because we're not weak. But we are acting as if we were weak, and this book
because
says—
Because we're believing the liar instead of the truth.
Completely true.
And when you let darkness prevail, all righteousness can be hidden. But if you bring the light in the room, it exposes the evil, it exposes the deception, it exposes the devil. That's why we've got to get the light on the lampstand. These Christians, these disciples, when they waited and they were filled, which is exactly what you're saying, by the way, you don't have to go to a place to be filled.
Yeah.
You don't have to go to an upper room. You don't have to be in a group. You can be filled, anointed, to overflowing right there where you are. But here's what I do believe. I believe God has given Sammy the ability. What an ability he has to communicate. You're sitting here listening to him right now. I mean, this is an anointed man. This is a divine enabling that God put on him. And he wants a whole church to hear what he's given this prophet, this teacher, this individual who has been anointed and gifted by God to awaken us to hear him and receive him and quench the liar. If everybody will say, I want to be filled with this power, I believe God has led Sammy to write this book. It's powerful, it's simple, it's clear. And I'm telling you, people right there watching us right now, I'm asking you to do this because there's biblical truth that we need to see. And I don't know anyone that can break it down and communicate it any more clearly than he can. He took the time to put it in. I'm just telling you, as I look at the outline, as I read what he's written, I'm saying, God, you gave us this for today. Do you believe that is the truth? And do you believe that people all over the world, even just listening, or they would take the book and say, I'm going to hold this. I'm going to read the truth that you're revealing through what I believe is a modern day gifted prophet teacher to us today, that as they're reading it, God will open them up to the truth that transforms their life with the same power that changed those men in the upper room.
The same identical power that filled the men in the upper room is filling people today. Not a touch, not a caress, not a casual drive-by, the infilling, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Imagine how your life changes. This fresh oil revelation truth, all biblically substantiated, will equip every single person to literally confront every giant in their family, in their generation. And those giants will come down. Do you believe that the giants will come down? I really believe that the giant coming after our children will come down if the church rises up with fresh oil.
If we stand up, we walk over him like dust, like dirt, like a scorpion. We crush him. We crush his will and his lies, and we release the transforming truth, the power of God in the power of the Holy Spirit. Father, you raised Sammy up for this day and time. You brought us together. We experienced some mighty things together. He experienced what I believe was a double portion touch of your anointing, the anointing that was on me and on others, the anointing that you want on every one of us. And God, I've watched this amazing, and I'm watching right now something that is thrilling me. And I pray that every viewer will read, will see, and will experience what Sammy is so clearly sharing with us in Jesus' name. You can go online and get the book. Sammy, let me tell you what we're doing right now. I know you love what we do. You've been drawn, you've admired me as a preacher, you said, from the time you knew me. And you've been with meetings where I brought the greatest leaders, the greatest church leaders who wouldn't even get in a room together. You saw God bring them together to where they actually liked each other and even loved each other. You saw that, okay. So we've been seeing some great things happen. But one of the things you've seen with us is we have touched the overlooked, the least of these, the forgotten, all over the world. And we've touched them with the love and life of God. We saved their lives. We changed their lives. We led them to Christ. We're in mission feeding right now. Think about this. 350,000 children the missionaries have found who are facing death through starvation. According to the nations of the world where we have worked, we have saved 18 million lives of their people and their children. We, meaning us. Sammy, I know you love that. I know you love what God does through us.
Yes.
And he's doing it through people viewing. The very people that are watching right now, what Sammy's preaching, what he's written about, he wants his power to come on you where we shake and reshape the world to where we can see Jesus clearly in his body and see the Father clearly in his family. That's what we're talking about. But I know, Sammy, our viewers, they want to touch the least of these.
Yes.
They want to touch the overlooked. And they know his love never fails. I want you to listen to our mission director's daughter on the mission field. She had watched her dad go to the mission field many times with me, work with me. She's married, but she went with her dad overseas to see up close. You listen to her. And then you be the miracle that will save lives. Transform lives, and we will gladly send you the book as a gift. Please give the gift of life. Please.
On my first day here in Benguela, we decided to go and visit the Benguela Malnutrition Clinic. Prior to this trip, I thought I was prepared to see these things. I've watched James and Betty on TV. I've been in their studios. I've seen the videos. I've heard the stories. So I can handle this. But when I stepped in, there was a child on every single bed. There's skin and bones. Some of them have sores on their mouths. They've got that tint of orange hair that you often see in malnourished children. Some of them, it was joyful to see, because some of them were drinking that milk and eating that peanut butter mix that the team provides for them, and you could tell that they were gaining weight. But then there was others. There was this little girl named Maria. And just to lay eyes on her broke my heart. And as I laid my hand on her leg, I remember how small it was. It was taking every bit of energy that she had just to sit up. But this is the condition. Coming here and meeting the moms, meeting the babies, holding their children, that these aren't just stories. They're real people, real children. It's completely different when you're here and you hold their hands and you ask them the questions and they share their sorrows with you, facing tragedy and suffering every single day. And the goal here is to give these people a lifeline so that they can build themselves up, they can have enough food. Their desire isn't for a handout, but a hand up. And we need your help.
Ashton, God bless you, sweetheart. I'm glad your dad's our mission director. He's been with me for many, many years now, and he's loving this position he's been in now for the last few years. I'm glad you got to go. Please, please hear me. Did you hear me say that the nations where we work told us we saved 18 million of their children? What you're doing is you're demonstrating the power of the Holy Spirit. You realize that Jesus said, if you want to know who the sheep are the ones that when they see somebody that's hungry or thirsty or trampled or in prison, they visit them. They love them. And you're ministering to me when you do that for them. And you're my sheep. If you want to know if Jesus is in you, you're not going to overlook the overlooked. He died for the overlooked. He died for those of us who were destined to eternity cut off from life. We're giving them food for life. $30 will feed 3 children for the next month. 50 will feed 5. 100 will feed 10. Would you do that? 1,000. Look what that will do. Father, please let every viewer hear your heart. I don't overlook anybody. I gave my life that all could have life. And I'm asking my family, my followers, my sheep, to share my life and my love. Jesus, thank you. Would you please go get your bank card? Use it like a check. I told you what $30 would do. But would you go ahead and think much bigger than that? What, $100? 10 for the next month's life? And we'll show them the way to eternal life. In the very power of the Holy Spirit that Sammy talks about. We're going to send every one of you who helped us today Sammy's book. We want to help you walk and live in that spirit. But would you right now give someone a chance at life because of the love of God? We have some special gifts to bless you, but you're giving the greatest gift. You're giving the gift of life because of unconditional love. You're demonstrating it. That's the Holy Spirit's power. Please, get your bank card, use it like a check. If you write a check, make it to life. But call us, communicate with us, tell us you're putting it in the mail, or you make your gift online right now. Thank you so much.
Right now, across the continent of Africa, children are suffering, facing severe malnutrition and even death. Extreme drought and famine, putting at risk thousands of lives, means we must replenish food supplies immediately to keep feeding 350,000 children and help reach more people in desperate need. Through Life's Mission Feeding Outreach, your gift of love can be an answer to prayer for a hurting and hungry child in their time of need. Call now with your life-saving gift of $30, $50, or $100 to help feed and care for 3 five, or 10 children for 3 full months. With your gift of any amount, we'll send the Daily Life Devotional Calendar. This perpetual calendar has 365 days worth of scriptures and inspirational thoughts to remind you of the rest you can find in God's loving arms. With your gift of $100 or more, you may request the Light of Life desk lamp. Find comfort and encouragement from Jesus' words in John 8:12, displayed on this standalone acrylic desk lamp, perfect for home or office decor, as a reminder that Jesus is the light of the world. Finally, with your gift of $1,000 or more to help feed and care for 100 children, be sure to request our inspiring bronze sculpture, A Cup of Water. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
This is the Mission Feeding Program in action. We are giving nourishment to children who have come to school, so we're giving them an education, we're getting them in the schools. When we come into an area like this, we take them from a state of malnourishment and listlessness and hopelessness, and we give them a future. We give them life through a simple bowl of soup. The only question is there enough soup in this pot for this line? We're confident that there is today, but beyond the end of this line, there are other villages. There are other children who need a bowl of soup just like this. Will you extend this line? Will you give food to a child today? I hope you'll join us. You really can make a difference. Go to the phone, go online, get the best gift you can. Because Mission Feeding saves lives.
Thank you for putting God's arms around somebody that's been overlooked. Thank you for saving their lives, giving them life, giving them a chance. We're going to send you Sammy's book. I believe it's a gift from God to the church, to the family today, to everyone who wants to know the truth about life. We'll send it to you immediately. Sammy, I'm anxious to hear what you're going to share tomorrow about the manifestations of the Holy Spirit in His fullness and how everyone, every single person can be filled with that Spirit. You don't have to go anywhere. You can be filled with the Spirit right now, today, before you go to bed. And we'll be talking about it clearly tomorrow. Sammy, I believe God's about to give us the greatest awakening in history.
Amen.
I'm so glad you're here.
Love you. Thank you for having me.
Amen. See you tomorrow. I just want to remind all of you that we do approach the end of the year and the new year, but we have a wonderful time to make year-end gifts, which are not only a blessing to all the people that the gift literally gives life to, but also gives you a break. It's very meaningful. So keep that in mind and just know that we're going to share the life and love of God because of your help.
The officer sent two unarmed men back to arrest you if you preached.
Best-selling author John Bevere, next week.
Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.